The scripture reading will be from Luke 4, 14 through 21. Jesus returned into the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and his reputation spread throughout the region. He was teaching in the Galilean synagogue, and all were loud in their praise. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, entering the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his habit. Jesus stood up to do the reading when the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of our God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captives, recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor." Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he said to them, "Today in your hearing, this scripture passage is fulfilled." All who were present spoke favorably of him. They marveled at the eloquence of the words on Jesus' lips. They said, "Surely this isn't Mary and Joseph's son." Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you quote me the proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself and say, do here in our own country the things we have heard you do in Capernaum.' But the truth is, prophets never gain acceptance in their hometown. The truth is, there were many women who were widowed in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heavens remained closed for 3.5 years and a great famine spread over the land. It was none of these that Elijah was sent, but to a woman who had been widowed in Sepharim near Sidon, was recalled to many that many had leprosy in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet no, not one was cured except Naaman the Syrian." At these words, the whole audience in the synagogue was filled with indignation. They rose up and dragged Jesus out of town, leading him to the brow of a hill on which the city was built, with the intention of hurling him over the edge. But he moved straight through the crowd and walked away.
Thank you, Janetta. As I mentioned before, I was at our Kansas, Oklahoma United Church of Christ annual meeting Thursday through Saturday, and I had the whole assembly do the same exercise that I'm about to have you do. So I learned this. It's called 12 stepping stones, and it's something that I talked about with our children, and it's something that we did in our responsive reading. If you noticed, we started out going over Jesus's beginnings of his life story from the first four chapters of Luke, and it had this phrase, "and then dot, dot, dot." So I have pins, and there should be some pins in the pews, and what I would like for you to do is to take your bulletin, somewhere in the margins, the front or back, take a pen, and it's kind of like school. I'm giving you an assignment. I want you to write, "I was born, dot, dot, dot." And if you need a pen, raise your hand. I'll come around. And then I want you to make at least a few more lines, and I want you to say, "and then dot, dot, dot." And I want you to talk about just a small phrase of something that's happened in your life that's important. So, "and then dot, dot, dot," "and then dot, dot, dot," "and then dot, dot, dot." This is just the beginning, so you could go on for 12 "and thens," but only do 2 or 3 today. You need a pen? Oh, sure. Can you go? The assignment. So you're just saying, I was born. And then what happened? And then something that happened in your life. And then something important that happened in your life. And then something important that happened in your life. And then my phone went off during church and everybody heard it. So this is meant to be the beginning of an assignment. What my hope is that you will take this home. Take your bulletin home, and I want you to try to do 12 stepping stones, 12 and thens. But you've begun it. And you've been able to start to think about what are those important stepping stones that have happened in my life, because we've seen what Jesus's are. I'm going to share a few of mine with you. I know some of you have heard parts of my story several times. There are new people. But I'm going to share some of the important stepping stones from my own life. So I was born in Oklahoma City to a couple in their mid-40s. Who met while playing cards in a church. And then, my best friend from across the street brought me to Vacation Bible School with her at the United Methodist Church down the street. And like Jesus, I found myself attracted to religious life from that point forward. I delved as deep as possible into prayer and worship services and church camps and mission trips. And these things are what formed my character and my passions and my interest. And from time to time, I've wondered, what would my life have been like if the church and if adults did not invest in children and youth and campus ministry? And then, I heard God's voice calling me into parish ministry. As you all know, I went to college at OCU. I studied religion, and it was there that I was exposed to countercultural wisdom. It wasn't the same as John the Baptist in the wilderness, but it was something like that. And I learned the types of things that pastors learn in seminary, and I did a lot of unlearning of things that I had been taught in local church settings. And then, all of that unlearning led me into a time of my own wilderness, my own doubt, and my own despair. I thought God had a plan for my life, but now I wasn't even sure if I believed in God. At college, I met people that society labeled as other. There was a lot of others in college. I don't know if you've been in situations where you've just had your whole world open up, and there's all these people that have been other from you to that point in your life. And it was then that I started to uncover the otherness inside myself. I came out as a member of the LGBT community, and I wrestled with my own demons, and I met people who taught me that some of my demons were not such, and they were angels bestowing blessing and not curse. And then I met Kansas, Oklahoma, United Church of Christ pastors who said to me, "Welcome. I think I know of a place where you can feel like you belong." And I came here, and the church reaffirmed my gifts for ministry and sent me off to seminary joyously with letters of recommendation. And through all of this, I learned that we play so many roles in each other's lives. If I just think about the roles that I saw this past week, I'm a pastor now. There were persons who are our delegates from this church that went to the Kansas-Oklahoma Conference. Currently, I am fulfilling the role of pastor. But a long time ago, several people that were the delegates were fulfilling the role of the in-care committee that were like 15 years ago, discerning whether or not I should become a pastor and writing those letters of support and approval. These roles change. It's just amazing to me. And then, as you know, I moved away from Kansas-Oklahoma Conference for 13 years, went to seminary, rode a long bus for 2 months that you've probably heard about, served as a hospital chaplain in San Francisco and an associate pastor in Minnesota for 6 years. And then, I came home to serve in my hometown of Oklahoma City, which Jesus doesn't really recommend. But God called me anyway. So the reason that I tell you parts of my story and the reason that we contemplate Jesus's life story and the reason that I want you to reflect upon even more than today your own broad strokes of your story is because our stories inform and empower our ministry and the ministry opportunities that we are given. All of the things that happen in our lives give shape and credentials and access to different entry points in this world. I can totally see how all the things in my life have been stepping stones to where I am today, pastor of our two churches. So, of course, the question is, what parts of your life story, what stepping stones, what big events have prepared you for the calling which God is leading you toward today? Our scripture, which Janetta read, is from the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He has returned to his hometown. He took the sacred text and scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he reads words from chapters 58 and 61 of the prophet. The context of what he's reading includes Hebrew exiles who had returned to Jerusalem. After weeping by the rivers of Babylon, all the people had been in Jerusalem, and they had gone through a period of exile. The leaders had been taken away, and they had wept by the rivers of Babylon. And then the prophet is writing in Isaiah about this time when they are to come back, and they think it's going to be a glorious return. But instead, they find themselves frustrated by hardships. And Jesus takes those words to read in front of everyone in the temple on this day. This is his only indoor sermon that we hear in the Gospels. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." We might ask, who are the poor? Is it the spiritually poor? There's a song with a lyric that I love that says, "There are people so damn poor, all they have is their money." Are the poor those who are materially impoverished? In the Gospel of Luke, the poor are understood best as the marginal, those who are excluded from social and religious life because of factors like age or gender or economic destitution or physical malady or religious impurity. He goes on and he says, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This prophet Isaiah that was speaking about returning to Israel, the language in the text sounds a lot like language to make Israel great again. But for those who were on the margins, it had never been great in the first place. After joining this church in college, every January we would take our church banner downtown and march in the Martin Luther King Jr. Parade. And we'd go through the streets singing the song that we sang today, "We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe that we shall overcome someday." I loved singing that song, and I can see even now, I didn't know that everyone was going to stand up. That song is so sacred to this congregation that people stand when we sing it. This became the civil rights anthem of the 1950s and 60s, but somehow for today, singing that song with the words, someday didn't feel right to me. Luke chapter 4, verse 20. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He says, forget about making Israel a great again someday. Jesus said the fulfillment is to happen now. No more someday. We can no longer wait for someday. We have to overcome yesterday, and we have to overcome today, is what he says. The early church and Jesus' life was one that was lived in a manner of resistance. Jesus' life was resistance, and the early church people, they were resisting all of those things which are not the kingdom of God. And so all we have to do is open up our news to see what needs resisting today in our world. Things that need resisting: sexual predatory behavior toward women, arrest of First Nation peoples protecting our waters and our lives, increased earthquakes and oil field prayer days, 23 beloved transgender persons murdered thus far this year, Islamophobic violence, including a 7-year-old who was beat up earlier this month on his bus for being Muslim, and his family has fled our country because it's not safe for them and their children to be here. Continued fear and killing and unjust incarceration of our black and brown brothers and sisters. Predatory payday loan practices, which make the poorer poorer. And fear and hatred of immigrants. These are just a glance of the things that need resistance today. Because we are called to bring good news to those who are in the margins, to use our life histories to transform lives, not someday, but today, so that we can all say, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so my prayer and my hope is that you will continue to go home, to think about your own life story, the big things that have happened, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to know that God can empower us through our life stories to resist those things that keep away the kingdom of God today. May it be so. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer.